I mentioned that this Mass we celebrate, especially this scrutiny ritual Mass, in which we continue to help and assist our catechumens who are preparing for the forgiveness of all their sins in baptism. It is the culmination of their journey and the culmination of Easter, in which they have all their sins washed away in baptism. And so we continue to prepare with them. This morning, though, we had the great opportunity for those candidates for full communion in the church, those already baptized. They, this morning, made their first confession. For just as for all of us, when we sin after our baptism, and they have been validly baptized, when we want to have our sins forgiven, we go to the sacrament of penance. And there, through the forgiveness of the church given us by Jesus through the minister of the priest, we have our souls restored just as they were immediately following baptism. We are once again brought to life. We see the great connection with the reading today, in which Lazarus is dead. He's really a symbol for all of us in sin that we are dead in darkness, in a tomb. And notice that even when he's raised, he's wrapped in bands. They would bind the body as they wrapped it in the tomb. It's a very good image for sin. We too are wrapped, bound by sin and laid in a tomb where we cannot be fully alive in the life of grace of Jesus. So that's why our gospel today is chosen specifically to refer to the great gift of forgiveness of sins, especially in baptism, but for those of us after baptism, in the sacrament of penance. It's no coincidence that Jesus says to Lazarus, "Come out," and then untie him, let him go. That's ultimately what Jesus says to us in confession. Come out from your sins. Don't remain under that huge stone that weighs you down in your life. Be untied and be made free. So it was beautiful this morning when our candidates, for the first time, were able to be forgiven, just as they were on the day of their baptism. They were untied and let go. With this beautiful opportunity so readily available for us, I couldn't help but wonder, why don't we take advantage of it more often? This weekend, we're right at the beginning of our communal penance services here in Topeka. There's a chance to go to confession every night this week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, break on Friday because our penance service is on Saturday morning. But we have so many opportunities this week to have Jesus untie us and let us go free to be ready to celebrate Easter. As I prepared the RCIA for their first confessions, many of the sponsors and those that are helping them who are already Catholic said that everybody really needs to be reminded sometimes, even just about the basics of confession. I asked, why don't you think people go more? Some of them are pretty simple, that we just don't know what to expect or what to do. It's a little, you bet, you know, at Mass, we Catholics were kind of followers, I think a little bit. So it's easy at Mass to know, okay, when do I stand? When do I kneel? Well, sometimes we just look at the people around us and say, well, okay, everybody else is kneeling, so I'm going to kneel now. And I stand when everybody else stands. And if everybody else strikes their breast, well, I'll do that too. If they bow, I bow. Confession is a little scary because it's all alone. You like go in there by yourself and you don't see what people are doing in there. So if you haven't been for a while, that itself could be an obstacle. I don't know what to do. There's no one to tell me when to sit, stand, kneel, what to say, what to do. So I thought today to just give Father Sean's practical pointers for penance, or the top tips for making a good confession this Lent. And the practical things. We've talked a lot about the theology of why we want to go to confession, but basic things like what actually happens in that little hidden room over there that is not so scary. Well, in our confessionals over here, you've got the chance to go face to face with the priest. You can walk in, sit down in the chair, and face the priest. Or if you want to go anonymously because maybe you're too embarrassed, or maybe you just don't want to have to look at the ugly priest there when you confess your sins, well, you can go around behind the screen and no one has to know who you are. So you walk in, you close the door, and you go on either side, up to you. And then you begin. The priest will probably say, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And he'll offer you some encouragement, like, "May the Lord who enlightens every heart help you to know your sins and trust in his mercy? And then you begin very simply, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 3 months since my last confession. Or it's been a week since my last confession. Or 30 years since my last confession. And these are my sins. And that's it. You've started. You're well on your way. Then comes that other part about actually confessing your sins. And that can be, okay, admittedly, a little bit more difficult. What do I confess and how do I do it? Well, I think sometimes people come in and they actually want to kind of prove to the priest that they really are sorry. And they think that like the more details they give, the better. And so you get this whole big story. Father, the other day I got up late because you see, the alarm clock went off, but I didn't hear it. But eventually I got up and I stumbled down and I got my coffee and then I got in the car and, you know, I didn't know exactly where I was going because I was still asleep. So I had some more of my coffee and I almost backed into my garage door, but I caught that and I got out into the street and finally I got going to work and I mean, wouldn't you know it, some idiot cuts me off in traffic. Oh man, you wouldn't believe it. I almost hit him, but I didn't. I missed it. But then I finally got to work and I tell you, Father, when I got to work, I got angry. And like, that's all one sin, you know, like, it's okay to come in and say, Father, I got angry, and then move on. We don't need the whole story. I don't need to know about the dog that got in the way or the person that cut you off. That's all good. It's good that you know the story so that you can see in your mind, okay, what caused me to sin? Was it because I got up late, because I was impatient? Fine. But it's really enough for the priest to come in and say, bless me, Father, I've sinned. It's been 3 months since my last confession. I got angry 3 times. I told 4 small lies. I was neglectful in my duties as a spouse on 2 occasions. I yelled at my spouse once. And for these and all my sins, I'm truly sorry. That's about, you know, 20 seconds, but that's a good confession if those are your sins. And that's okay. It's important that we know what causes us to sin. What are the circumstances? Do I go to the wrong places? Do I look at the wrong things? Okay, maybe I know the circumstances. But in confession, we're primarily there to accuse ourselves of a sin and then allow God to heal it. Be very careful too, Father Sean's top tip number 2, when you're telling the story, which you don't always have to do, make sure it's the story of your sin at least. Top tip number 2, don't confess other people's sins. That seems obvious, but you know you're on the wrong track if you come into confession and your confession begins with, bless me, Father, I've sinned. It's been a month since my last confession. My husband or my wife, if your confession begins with either of those two people being named and that's not you, you know you're probably starting off on the wrong track because it goes off into the big story. He did this and this and this, and then he did that and he did this and then he did that. And so I got angry. Okay, are you really sorry about it? And like, oh yeah. And sometimes you get to the story and you forget to say, oh yeah, so I got impatient. Okay, well you can confess that you got impatient. The point is, we don't want to try to either justify ourselves in our confession by giving all the reasons why we sinned, or we don't also want to make ourselves look worse than we are. Sometimes we want to come in and we want to tell the priest just absolutely how bad we've been. Well, that's not necessarily the thing we need to do either. We come into confession and the best thing we can do is to first be prepared. Go over our examination of conscience. Here by our confessionals, we got little flyers that go through like the Ten Commandments. And they bring up some things you might not have thought of. Most people skip, thou shalt not kill, and think, who cares, I've never killed anyone. You might look at the little pamphlets, see what falls under that, maybe a few other things. But we come prepared so that we can go into the priest, we can make our confession succinctly. We can be prepared so that we can then be brief. Because one of the great things at Most Pure Heart is we have a lot of people that want to go to confession. That is so great. But we need to realize that, all right, there may be some people that they want to go to confession to, and we want to get to all of them. So say what you need to say, and that's enough. And know that God knows the rest, and he forgives you. Of course, we confess all of our serious sins. The mortal sins we're bound to confess. The venial sins, we know that if we confess them, God gives us grace. Final thing that I think keeps people away sometimes, maybe we're a little scared to be honest with the priest. I get all the time people say, Father, if I go to confession, you're going to remember what I said. Even if they know that we're not going to tell anybody, because we won't. We're bound by canon law and the church and just our own conscience. We're not going to tell anybody. But people think, you'll remember it. You're going to look at me every time you see me, and you're going to know I'm the one that came confess that sin. Don't worry about that. I think that God gives us priests specific grace not to remember your sins. And we don't want to remember your sins. And praise God, most of the time, by the time I leave the confessional, it's forgotten. You're not going to tell the priest anything we don't know. There are no surprises that come up in confession. If you're an axe murderer and you're ready to stop axe murdering, you know, leave your little axe at the door and come into the confession and say, I'm done. I give up my axe and I'm done. I can't say that I've heard that one, maybe. But, you know, there are very few surprises in confession, so don't worry. The priest isn't going to think ill of you. The best confessions you ever hear are the ones, you know, Father, it's been 30 years since my last confession. And that person walks out of there free and unbound to go out and be the Christian God calls him to be. That's really what God offers us this Lent. A chance to be ready for Easter, that when the beautiful day of the resurrection of Jesus takes place, as surely as Lazarus busted out of his tomb, God calls us out of our tomb to come back to life, to not be weighed down by the burden of our sin, as the devil often does. He holds the past in front of us and says, who are you to think you can be holy? You can't do this. Look at this. You've done this, 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 and this. God says, come to me. He takes it all away and says, now, I forgive you. Come out. Untie him and let him go. That's the great gift that Jesus gives us this Lent. We pray that we might be prepared, be humble to go to confession, that we would be honest, be succinct, and then when we're done, be confident. Know that God has forgiven you, that he remembers your sins no more, and then be thankful. There is no greater thanksgiving than to know we got a fresh beginning, a new start, that indeed we are reborn, untied, and free to go and love God.